Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey guys, today's podcast is brought to you by Amazon.com. Go ahead and click one of the banners on our Podbeam page. They're all over the place. When you do so, it'll direct you to the great and wonderful world of Amazon, shopping online, and then you can buy whatever your heart desires. I've spent so much money there in the past couple weeks. It is delightful. It just gives you a nice warm feeling, you know? But we get a little percentage of that. You do pay nothing extra. Just helps out the boys at Lousy Weather Media pay some bills. Maybe buy a new computer soon. We're saving up. Yeah, that's right. Maybe we'll have better equipment so things won't go out and stuff, and I won't mess everything up anymore, you know? It's going to be awesome. Oh, and by the way, I refer to a theater in Akron called the Night Life. It is actually the Night Light Cinema. So when you hear that and you're like, I want to go to this place, make sure you type in Night Light. Not Night Life, you'll probably find something much different. Now enjoy the show.
Would you like to read a book? No, I don't.
I can't read. Hello and welcome to this week's installment of I Can't Read. I'm Paul.
I'm Tony Sansonetti.
How you doing, bud?
Good. How's that big, giant vat of coffee that you're...
Delicious. I'm drinking an entire pot in one glass. I'm about three quarters of the way through, I'd say. Heart attack's coming.
Looks like you I'm sweating. Hagrid's coffee cup.
It does look like Hagrid's coffee cup. Speaking of Harry Potter, I don't have anything about it.
Speaking of Harry Potter, I don't know.
Yeah, and I got nothing. Forget a kiss. So yeah, have you seen anything sweet this week? Let's do weekly first.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw us off. Fuck our thing.
Man.
We're gonna do something else. We don't. This podcast doesn't own us. We own it.
We own it. Fucking
yeah. Right. So what'd you watch? We're not doing genre 5.
I don't know if I can do this.
Oh God, he's sweating, people.
Okay. First thing, documentary called The Kingdom of Dreams and Madness.
Of course, a documentary.
Yeah, of course.
I love documentaries.
I'm an educated man.
Yeah. Do you retain a lot of that information?
Yes. Yeah.
So even like Pat, you've seen because you watch a fucking ton. They all bleed together for me. I mean, not like all of them, but if I watch like a certain subject a bunch, I'd be like, I'm not really sure which one it's from.
Well, I can even watch documentaries on subjects that are in any other form kind of uninteresting to me. Like, the financial collapse of 2008.
Yeah, that sounds boring.
I've watched probably 15 documentaries
Good
about it.
God.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Watched a movie about it called Too Big to Fail. Love it.
Yeah,
I watched it twice.
I remember. Wow, Jesus.
I'm weird.
That to me too. I used to watch movies all the time, like second viewings and stuff like that. I rarely do that now.
I think now I know what I'm looking to absorb. Before, I was like analyzing it from 10 different ways.
Yeah.
And then there were times when I'd put on certain movies to just be, I don't know, to make me feel the way I felt when I first watched them, because I was really a desperate, sad kid. So I'd be like, oh, I can put on The Matrix again so I can feel like I'm in a computer program and I'm special, not just a loser.
So it's like
maybe someone will contact me.
So it's like a nostalgia thing. That's why. That's kind of like what you go for.
Used to be. I used to like wear stuff out.
I mean, Star Wars is definitely like that for me. Harry Potter is still like that for me. I still kind of chase that dragon.
Yeah.
Even Lord of the Rings and stuff. Wedding Crashers I used to watch every night before bed. There was a couple movies that I used to rotate. And not only that, like when I didn't have a ton of DVDs, like a lot of the Adam Sandler stuff I would watch. That just always made me feel happy and good inside before
bed. I also think there was like a time when I was like, oh, you need to see this other friend
and watch it with them. Yeah.
And then a week later, I'd be like, oh, I showed blah, blah, blah. I want to show you.
You did.
And
it almost
was
like
social.
You would tour the houses of friends with them. You'd have a DVD, like, all right, you guys ready? Yeah. Or I'll sit down, got your popcorn.
And maybe that's where I get like that like pissiness when people don't care for films that I really like.
Yeah, because you almost triumph them.
Because yeah, I used to fucking like tail them and drag them around like a fucking puppy.
Did you hear about Human Centipede 3?
I saw the teaser.
Did you? All right, so I didn't watch the teaser. I just saw the still of them in jail, and they're all ass to mouth, but they're all in jumpsuits.
Yeah, they're all prisoners in like maximum security.
Which I was like, why the jumpsuits?
Prison. Well,
I understand they're prisoners, but I mean like. You have to make holes in the asses of everyone. It just seems like really, I don't know, like you're already doing a lot of work of sewing an ass to a face.
I have no, you thought of an angle that I didn't even like.
Well, I was just like, so some dude had to literally cut like all their jumpsuits open and then cut their ass cheeks. Because in the first one, he cuts their ass cheeks in the V's and then attaches the ass cheeks to their face.
In this one, I think it's like fish hooks on the mouth. Fuck. And they wrap around some sort of harness on the ass.
Okay.
To where they just pull the mouth to the ass to connect it. And then they like tighten the wire.
That is rough.
Yeah. To where it's almost like an automated thing. So they may not even.
Almost fucking, like a saw type.
Honestly, they might just stab a little hole in the fucking butt
in the fabric pants.
And be like, that's enough. It'll shit through.
It'll shit through. Oh, God.
But yeah, it did look kind of. I mean, it was.
You think it's
it
gonna
was,
be, I think it's going to be a full circle.
Yeah, it made fun of itself.
Though. Yeah, well, I mean.
So much.
He's been talking about it. Like, he. When I first heard about it, he said that he wanted to make it a trilogy, and he said the third one was going to be, like, mind bending.
Yeah, well,
the second one was, like, 30 some people or some shit.
The Asian dude was in it. The old doctor from the first one.
Was in what?
Was in the third. In the preview for the third one.
Really?
He's like.
Wait, the dude that lived?
No, like the doctor that put the original people together.
My bad. The dude didn't live. And not only that, it was shot as a movie, correct? Like, in the second the premise of the second one was that dude was like, oh my God, I'm going to do that. This movie inspired me. Yeah. So it was already like, it existed as a movie in that universe.
Well, the second one is too. They watch the second one and the first one in the prison. It's real weird the way it works. Almost like they pull it out and make it a film.
Right,
so each one can be considered like
not real
parody. Yeah,
wow.
So it fucks with you because you're like, oh, the second one was real life. No, they make it seem like the prisoners are watching the first and second Centipede.
Yeah,
and then the Asian dude comes out from the first one and he's like, "Do you understand?"
Gotcha.
Like pretty much like.
Was he an Asian guy?
Yeah.
Sorry if you guys hear traffic and stuff. I have my window open. It's a very nice and sunny day. And get used to that because it's about to hit summer and I can't have my AC on because it sounds like a Mack truck is lifting off in my apartment.
And I won't record if I'm sweaty.
Right. So I have to keep the windows open. You'll probably hear a fan coming soon. Things to look
coming
forward to.
Soon. Yeah. A fan.
One fan. Finally. We got one, Tony.
Tony will be breathing heavier.
We got one. We got a fan. Someone's finally listening.
Wordplay.
But yeah, it was a wordplay, sir. I thought the first one was really, really good. The second one was very, I don't know, there's parts of it that I was like, wow, I did not see that shit coming. Very shocking.
They had shocking.
The third one I feel like is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll just be good old over the top. And then it's pretty much hailing itself as 100% politically incorrect. That was something at the end of the trailer was like, this is what America needs. Eric Roberts is in it, the guy from... the guy that gets thrown off of Falcone's goon that gets thrown off the building. He's like, if you're going to threaten someone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's Eric Roberts. He was in Runaway Train.
I would just break my... Or he's like, I wouldn't die from this. He's like, I was a bloody on it. Drops him.
He's in the third one.
That scream when he falls, holy shit, is so good. Because I just rewatched Dark Knight and Batman Begins.
I hate seeing him hit.
It is terrifying. Like, oh, the sound of his knees buckling and shoving into themselves. I'm like, good God. He should have rolled or something.
Don't stuff for cops, nothing.
Oh, yeah. That's a good impression.
Yeah. He's in it, and he's the one that says, he's like, this is exactly what America needs.
Oh, wow.
And then it's like 100% politically incorrect.
The other person that came from that movie that I've never really seen before was the mayor guy, I think it was. The guy with like the really thick eyebrows. He's the cop in Bates Motel.
Oh.
And every time I see Bates now, I'm like, oh, my God, you're in fucking Batman. Have you been watching Bates?
No.
At all?
Like, first, I saw the first season.
You haven't seen second or third?
No.
Wow, yeah, the third season's getting crazy. They're really triumphing, like, the Norman Bates character, like, more into, like, showing how he gets to where he is. I was talking to
Lane. But he's
still
the kid's age. Yeah.
Still
that kid playing.
Yeah, he's, like, 18 or 17. I think he's 18, and so she's like, you can leave high school and run the motel with me now.
Yeah.
But, like, it's all, like... I mean, there's obviously, like, murders and stuff like that, but, like, it's more so about this town. What is it? Point Moody or some shit?
something along those
lines. Yeah, it's more so about the town, the corrupt people in the town, and like you figuring out like all the weird shit that they're doing. But I thought it would be a really sick thing for the last season, maybe the last episode, they do like 15 years later and do like a short of Psycho.
That would be cool.
That would be so fucking sick.
That'd be cool.
Or like, you know how Arrow, I wish they would have kind of done it like that, like how Arrow has the flashbacks. They should have like have like flash forwards of him like, like, you know, this happens, and, like, now he always does this.
Why, like,
even, like,
he's
him just,
like that
taxidermy. Like, never even show the dude's face. Just always shot from behind, like, him doing something fucked up.
But even, it'd be cool the way you originally said, too, that last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But never showing the adult actor's face.
Right.
To make it anonymous.
And then like, and then spoilers, if you haven't seen Psycho, I mean, the movie's fucking really old. And then, like, have it, like, a slow pan up from the rocking chair where the dead mom is, and just having her say, oh, that'd be so tough.
Yeah,
and then it's
tight.
Just, like, fucking Psycho. Or if A&E even like fucking took that character and like made a movie about it afterwards, that would be sick too. But I think it'd be cooler if they did it at the end of the season, kind of wrapped everything up.
Just wrap it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so yeah, back to what you've seen.
The Kingdom of Dreams and Madness.
Yeah.
A documentary about Hayao Miyazaki.
Also what you call this podcast, The Kingdom of Dreams and Madness.
Pretty much. It's a good definition.
Yeah.
He's the guy who wrote and directed Spirited Away.
Oh, okay.
And he created Studio Ghibli and made tons of award-winning, incredible films.
I went to the Nightlife Cinema in Akron.
Yeah.
This past Wednesday.
Okay.
I went and saw It Follows.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was cool. It was.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, watch it. I think you'll dig it. There's parts of it that you're like, eh. They just do that thing when horror movies where they like plop you in and they're like, well, we're not going to really tell you why this is happening, but it just is. You're part of the characters. And I dig that sometimes, but at other points, I'm like, give me an origin.
Yeah.
Like, tell me, give me a reason why this thing is happening instead of like, fuck, you know. But anyways, shot very well. There's a lot of cool parts, very fucking cheap scares throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to speak more about the nightlife. It's like a 45 seater theater.
Yeah.
And very intimate, like very close. You can get fucking beers there and shit. It's nuts. I didn't drink anything because it was probably gonna be really expensive, and I was already spending $17 on tickets. But like you can drink beers in there. There's a couch in the front row, and then like you're probably like 20 feet away from the screen, almost anywhere in the fucking theater setting. It's fucking awesome. It's a really cool, like a little, it almost looks like a black box theater.
That's cool.
Very awesome experience.
I mean, I loved watching stuff at, like, the Highland and at, like, the Kent Stage.
Yeah, I've never
been
to the Highland. In Highland, you can also drink there. Kent Stage would be awesome to watch movies at. Do they do movies a lot?
I think they do showings, yeah.
But they do, like, showings of...
It'd be, like, for, like, a Rocky Horror Picture or something
along those lines.
Or an indie film
shot in Kent or something like that, or someone from Kent.
Yeah. Because, like, before the Speed Bumps...
yeah, I saw them play. They played that fucking...
That little...
They wrote that track to, like, the 10-minute short, and they played... Yeah. That was really fucking
Will
cool.
Will Degas did a little short, and they filmed that.
Yeah.
I mean, they projected that.
Yeah, they projected the film, and then they played the score that they wrote to it live. I was like, wow, that's really fucking awesome. I heard that they did that with Star Wars. John Williams, like, they projected Star Wars.
Oh, my God.
I
think that's
God.
A thing now. I think to, like, get the feel for the composer, he can... Watch the screen and like.
Well, that's how they have always done it. When they record the thing, they have it projected while he's like.
Which is cool because it's the evolution of theater.
Yeah.
Playing with music below.
Good call. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
But yeah, check out Nightlife Cinema. I never knew about it. Lainey was like, hey, we should go to this sometime. And then we saw the It Follows trailer and I was like, oh, that looks fun. And she really liked the movie. She gets really into scary movies. Like, she gets fucking
cool.
In there, dude. I wish I had that like childlike wonder that she does with that type of shit. But I mean, she dives in. She
I'm
like
jaded.
It's really creepy. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm looking at shots and stuff. I'm like, oh, that was a cool shot. Oh, I wonder how they did that.
Oh, this is gonna scare me.
That's a green screen. Oh, that isn't. That might be practical. Like, I'm always just trying to like fucking like pick apart the movie and like and see deconstruct it and see how it was made more so than actually enjoying the film. I need to stop doing that so I actually like you know.
Do you remember in Gladiator the guy who plays his master when he becomes a slave at first?
The black dude?
No.
He
talks about how he Caesar kissed him or shook his hand and gives him armor and stuff,
right,
and he wants
him
to like ascend.
Yeah.
That guy died during filming, and there are shots in that film that are completely
not
CGI'd
him.
Of him. Yeah.
Really?
And I honestly didn't
CGI'd?
Know. CGI'd? Completely.
What year did that come out? 2004?
Yeah.
Okay.
No idea. Like when he's. There's a shot that they showed an example of where he's talking to him through the bars when Maximus is about to go out to the arena.
Yeah.
And it's all CG. It's That's them filling up. Him in with stock footage, working on his facial features, like, but they didn't have any like 3D mapping of him
right
at the time, so they had to literally like
create him from scratch. That's insane.
But the Paul Walker thing, they already had 3D models of him because
was there CGI him in Fast 7 or some shit?
Yeah, because he passed away during filming.
During filming, so yes. They did have him already.
They already had him on set. They already had seven.
I wonder why they didn't do that for fucking
take.
Heath Ledger with Dr. Parnathus or whatever the fuck that movie was called. The Imaginary of Dr. Yeah. The Imaginary Borum of fucking blah, blah, blah. Word that can't even fit in your mouth. That title. They had the three different actors: Jude Law.
Yeah.
Help me out here. Colin Farrell.
Jude Law, Colin Farrell, and Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. Yeah. Which was actually kind of cool for that movie, but yeah, anyways. Another thing,
they wanted to take a unique approach instead of trying to go technical.
Yeah, probably saved them a couple bucks, even though that movie was insanely technical. Yeah. Half of it didn't exist, or three quarters of it didn't exist. One thing I wanted to mention about Gladiator, do you remember the scene where they are at the chariots?
Yeah.
If you watch really closely, there's probably seven or eight shots, if you put it in slow motion, because I remember having it on VHS. And when one of the chariots flip, this fucking cover comes off and you see a tank that is there to boost the thing. It shoots out air. And I was holy shit, I can't believe they didn't take that didn't really need to be in there, but they always left it. I've submitted it to Hollywood Babylon for shit that should not be, and they won't fucking take it.
Why won't they take it?
I don't know, man. I just want to hear name on a fucking podcast that people listen to.
Have they talked about Congo? How you can see people in the background, like, literally in the scene, just wandering around in the background of the forest.
No.
When they're, talking.
Oh, that's wild.
Oh, there's a whole scene where you don't have to fast forward. You can just press play and watch them.
Yeah, yeah. Chasing Amy, the whole entire crew is in one of the shots while Ben Affleck's walking to the car. The entire crew's just standing there, and they're like, leave it.
They look normal.
Yeah, it'll be fine. There's a whole bunch. In Anaconda, there was this one shot where they show the waterfall going up, backwards.
Yeah.
And shit like that, because they didn't have the right angle of it. They're like, we'll just put it in reverse. No one will catch it.
Uh-uh.
Because it's but that was during the time of VHS when people could buy it and reanalyze it and stuff. But yeah, it follows. It was cool. Go check it out. Definitely check out Nightlife Cinema, though. Anyways, what else have you seen?
Well, I wanted to say something about Kingdom of Dreams and Madness.
Yeah.
That dude makes me worship fucking animation.
Yeah.
He's 70 years old, and he still hand draws every storyboard and pretty much takes from fucking animators he'll take their pages that they're working on, because he had a lecture about not drawing him in a certain way because it made him seem deviant. Hit one of his characters, it made him seem too deviant. Yeah. And literally had to take their pages from them and do final drawings on his own film, because they didn't know how to make facial features the way he saw them in his mind.
Wow, that's insane.
He's so a universe of his own. And the one guy that works with him, his main producer he's worked with for 30 years, Suzuki-san, he was like, honestly, I just wish he was still 25 and could draw it all himself.
Right.
That's the only way this man will ever be happy. Because every film he makes, he just kind of beats himself up till the day it's released.
Well, Spirited Away was, 2001?
Yeah.
So he was fucking 50 something, or 60s, early 60s. Yeah. Was he drawing everything then?
I mean, he was drawing, he was doing everything conceptual and then.
Oh, but then you have to shipping it off. Yeah, giving it to him. I mean,
when I say shipping it, I mean his Studio Ghibli is maybe twice the size of your apartment.
Okay.
Not that big. But there's just this line of animators that sit at these little desks and just chill out and draw all fucking day. And he just feeds them more of his imagination. It's incredible. Great documentary. If you know anything about Miyazaki's work,
it's one thing
worth
I wanted
watching.
To mention was I saw a poster of it looked like that little girl from Spirited Away.
Mm-hmm.
She was holding a cat. Do you know which anime I'm talking about? She was flying.
Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah, they had a nice movie.
And she's on a broom.
I can't remember, but she was holding a little black cat, and it looked exactly like that little girl.
Yeah, Kiki's Delivery Service.
Right on, yeah. I saw that, and I was like, oh, shit. I was going to take a picture and send it to you, but I totally forgot.
That's one of his early works.
Yeah.
I
didn't know. I was like, oh, is this coming to theaters? But, I mean, it looked exactly like the Spirited Away animation.
He just, his movies look like his movies. There's one he just finished called The Wind Rises, and it's all about the guy who created the Zero Fighter jet from Japan the jet that they like suicide bombed into ships in World War II.
Kamikaze?
Yeah. It's all about the guy who created the Zero Jet, and like it's an anti-war film, and it's pretty gorgeous. Like it shows him like developing an airplane and the shots. He talks about that too. He's like, the beauty of animation is I am the camera.
Right.
I don't have to think of logistics of cameras, and I don't have to plot ego versus ego in a film. I can make it about a kid learning to be
almost like CGI
herself.
Before CGI,
yeah.
Where they can put the camera wherever the fuck they
He's
want.
Like, no, I want it up above and to the left, but I want it to swirl back and then be right behind her.
Wow.
Instantly.
That's crazy.
And they can animate that real quick.
That's nuts.
It's great.
What else you seen?
I watched Three Kings.
Yeah, they just put that on Netflix. I saw that. That's with George Clooney, right?
George Clooney. Mm-hmm.
About the
Ice Cube and
Desert Storm, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's right after the ceasefire.
I saw that in fucking theaters.
And Mark Wahlberg's in it. Yeah, did you?
Mocky Mock. It's Transformer.
It's got a lot of cool effects. Not effects, like little cinematography tricks.
I barely remember
that they do.
It, but yeah.
Like he talks about like a bullet going into someone and it shows the camera just shooting into someone and
then it shows
their organs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it's funny as hell. The whole movie is kind of them just fucking up this like idea of stealing gold.
Hmm.
Also watched Runaway Train from 85.
Runaway Train, never coming back. Was that on it?
No.
Oh, it should have been. I mean, what a great time to use
that. Well, Akira
going off on a one-way train. Remember that video, all the little homeless kids? God, it was so heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is a heartbreaking jam.
Saddest video that... No, I'm kidding.
saddest movie.
Yeah.
This is a fucked up movie.
Oh, is this part of your list?
What?
The Runaway Train?
Yeah.
Oh, are we doing genre 5 now?
What? No.
Oh, okay. I was like,
I'm saying, like, it's just sad. It's just a fucked up movie. It's really desolate. Like,
yeah.
Two convicts escape maximum security prison, then get on this, like, train that's only, like, 4 engine cars. It's not a real full train. But the guy has a heart attack when he puts it into gear, falls off the train, and then they're just on this train going, like, 80 miles an hour.
Holy shit.
But eventually, like, so much horrible shit starts happening, and the pretty much John Voight. It's Eric Roberts and John Voight are the two main characters.
Okay.
You know John Voight? He was in Anaconda.
Anaconda.
He was the main sort of like snake baron that
the
knew
old
about
dude,
snakes.
The white hair that winks at him after the snake vomits it up.
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then he gets squeezed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's John Voight. He's Angelina Jolie's dad.
In real life?
In real life. He plays her dad in Tomb Raider. It was easy, I bet.
I bet. That's crazy.
I bet.
My mind just shattered.
He was also in Deer Hunter. I mean, he's badass at Deliverance.
Okay.
I don't know. Don't quote me on Deer Hunter, actually.
All right. Taken from the record.
Okay. 85, Akira Kurosawa co-wrote it, which is really weird because he wrote, like, Seven Samurai and Rashomon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a strange movie to have his name on because it's like an American thug sort of action movie.
Yeah, and but do you think that that's like his original portrayal of the movie, or maybe that they kind of like made it for our audience like that? Because I feel like that happens a lot. They're like, oh, this director's doing awesome things, and they give them the product. Like, what the fuck is this bullshit? Why is it all artsy-fartsy? Fuck them. Throw in some explosions. Get them some thugs.
Well, I mean, I think that... I don't know if he originally wrote it by himself or anything, but I think his influence can be felt because it's like a really pretty sort of like artsy ending.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And that was where I was like most like immersed.
Into it?
Yeah,
I gotcha.
And I'm most immersed by some of the heavy dialogue because John Voight won the Academy Award that year for his portrayal, as well as Eric Roberts, I think, won Best Supporting Actor that year.
Wow, it's crazy.
So it's an ass-kicking, like, performance-driven movie.
Ass-kicking.
Real ass-kicking.
I rewatched, like, the first, like, 35, 40 minutes of RoboCop, the new one.
Oh.
And I don't get why you have such qualms with that movie. What I tried to do, I was like, okay.
I don't need it, that's all.
I understand that completely, because RoboCop 1 is perfect on its own. It is a beautiful, amazing movie.
Yeah.
Completely agree. Now, what I'm saying though is, if I would have saw this movie when I saw RoboCop, I would be like, "This is the most badass thing ever."
But it doesn't even. I guess it's not on the same playing level as RoboCop. Not rated R.
You got Rorschach.
You have characters that were designed around. They're like extra things you don't need too.
Well, I thought the Rorschach, the dude that played Rorschach, what's his name?
I know who you're talking about. Little Freddy.
Yeah. The new Freddy, which, oh man, was such a bummer. I heard about him playing Freddy Krueger, and I was like, this is going to be amazing.
See, but the way you feel about the new Freddy is the way I feel about the new RoboCop. I just don't need it. It was not what I wanted. And it wasn't rated R. I didn't see any blood in that movie. And he got exploded.
A lot of machines exploded. Yeah, no, and I saw that. Like, I was watching that part, and I was like, but that makes sense in our time. Like,
yeah,
like it's a car bomb.
Way
that makes,
better, yeah. It, more relevant.
Exactly, yeah. They kind of, like, made it for the audience that was, and it's not anywhere near as gory. That's probably why I got the PG-13, because Jesus Christ, that scene in RoboCop. But that's one thing that stuck with me a lot in RoboCop, was that scene.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that, like, I don't know. I just think that, like, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun movie.
I guess I didn't have as much fun as...
Well, yeah, you're not going to have as much fun. You're never, like, there's...
I know.
Total Recall. A blast to watch. Not as good as fucking, obviously,
not
the first
even. I don't even put those as, like, the same film almost. There are themes that are the same.
Yeah,
but it's
not
almost kind of like, you didn't really make a Philip K. Dick movie. You made a really cool future-y action movie.
Yeah.
Wrapped around, like, a Total Recall theme.
With the brand Total Recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with RoboCop, like, I mean, like, he was like, wouldn't buy that for a dollar when they're, like, testing him. I was like, oh, that's fucking a cool nod and shit like that. Like, I feel like there's parts to be that you should kind of, like, pay homage to. And, like, you know, they're like, oh, they did cool there. They did cool there. Michael Keaton killed it. Even the dude, like, that played Murphy, I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, I forget his name. He is in The Following. He's a fucking good actor.
Yeah, yeah. And it sucks that that movie got so... But I mean, like, in this day and age of, like, fandom, it's always going to get shit on when it's a
remake. Almost like, why would I want to be connected to that? If they asked me, like, do you think we should make RoboCop again? I go, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Shot for
There's
shot, 9, sure.
There's 9,000 fucking scripts out there we could try reading. Mm-hmm. We could try that.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a couple million sci-fi books.
Do you think that they're trying to reboot it so they can make a new franchise and they're just like...
It's almost like going uphill battle. It's an uphill battle all the way.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you try to create like a sci-fi film that's straight from someone else's imagination or a book?
Yeah.
Well, because they all come from fucking books mainly. Right. If not from just fucking Jules Verne's fucking brain.
Yeah.
Then try to recycle something that people are totally happy with the product that still exists. Obviously, there's not fucking CG in RoboCop.
Right.
Don't need it. Don't need it when you have something perfect. Like, if they were like, oh, we want to remake Requiem for a Dream. Why?
I can't.
Why, dummy?
But, I mean, also, that's like a character developing story. This is kind of like fucking Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Or would you want Jurassic Park again? Just Jurassic Park, not Jurassic World, not Jurassic 5.
Yeah, I guess not.
You'd be like, that's cool. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm content.
Or maybe if they would have just been like, hey, RoboCop 4.
But I get
continuing that storyline and shit like that, and they're like, hey, like, that would have been cool.
That would have been fine. Son of RoboCop, fine. Go with it.
Fuck no, not son of RoboCop. I fucked a girl with my robot dick, and I had a robot baby.
They
son
took
of
the
RoboCop.
Sperm right out of my robot nuts.
He's dressed in all black because Michael Keaton likes
it's
that.
It's even the disappointment you get when someone makes something new that, like Indiana Jones.
Man of Steel.
Yeah. You kind of
What about
get,
Man of Steel, though?
What about
I thought
Man
that,
of Steel?
That's a great, and it's
well,
a reimagining
let's go to
of Superman.
Superman Returns.
Awful, but that was also part of the storyline, so they kept with it. Superman Returns takes place after Superman 3.
So that's it would have been a dud no matter how they kind of... It would have been shit on no matter how they did it.
Superman
RoboCop
Returns?
RoboCop 4 or...
Maybe.
Remaking RoboCop.
Depends on how they approach RoboCop 4, because they approach Superman Returns like a fucking dildo.
You know what they do need to remake? Hmm. Is something that originally was a total fucking turd bomb.
That's what I was thinking, too, and
Spawn.
I was trying to think... Yeah, definitely. But I don't know if I've said this on this podcast, but they've talked about like what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's more so about Sam and Twitch, like a beat cop movie with Spawn in the background, which I think would be fantastic. But I completely agree. They should take a movie that was like, oh, if we only had more
if
money.
Only, yeah.
Yeah, or, yeah, because they're like, this is such a cool concept, but God damn it, did they not execute it right? And try to re-execute. Are you trying to think of something right now?
No. I was looking around, and I'm like, God, you can almost kind of, like, see them everywhere, because Paul has DVDs kind of everywhere while we record here. And I'm looking around, and I'm like, you can kind of analyze stuff. The Matrix, if they fucking remake that, there'd be, I would riot. I think that would just be asinine.
You'd flip a car.
It's still... holds where it needed to be.
Now, do you think a kid from this age sees The Matrix and they're
what
like...
What age? You mean like a 16-year-old?
Yeah,
right
or
now,
even like... Well, what? We were... How old were you when The Matrix came out? I think I was like 12 or 13.
I was like fucking 14.
Okay, that makes sense then. When I saw it, mind fucking blown.
Exactly. Now, do I think a kid nowadays would be as overwhelmed by like just the new fucking vision that that was.
Right.
No, because he's probably seen things that have so much effect from that film in it. Oh, I've seen fucking bullet effect. Oh, I've seen fucking, like, shoot 'em up scenes in fucking hallways and stuff. Like,
you're right. And not only that, even, like, the premise of it, too.
Yeah.
Like, they've surrogate was kind of like that as well. So they probably...
realities and shit. Yeah. All that crap has kind of came and go. He's like, that kid's going to have watched 20 films that... loved the directors and writers loved The Matrix,
right?
And then they wrote that film.
Gotcha.
So, no, they won't really feel the way I do about it. But then again, fuck them. Like,
I wonder how much RoboCop made. Did you know that? Fucking...
I should. Someone my age should write a script good enough for a film for a kid 16 to where he goes ape shit over it the way I went ape shit over The Matrix.
Yeah,
that's what we need. Is someone. Or just Hollywood needs to stop shitting on visions and make real films.
Holy fuck.
What?
$100 million budget for RoboCop, $58 million grossed.
That's not getting a sequel.
Oh, no, it is not.
That's
rough.
Yeah, that's like...
That's real rough.
Dune numbers.
Fucking... The Turtles movie did insanely well.
Yes.
But also the resurgence of the cartoon, I think, really brought them back. And kids are like, oh, fuck yeah, we love the Ninja Turtles. That's cool that that's getting, like, revival. And it doesn't have to be just, like, you know, the kids from the 80s or the 90s that watched the TV show and the fucking movies and stuff like that. Because they all hated the new Turtles movie. Yeah. But I'm sure kids would hate shit for it.
See, I mean, like I said, I'm biased because I love RoboCop shot for shot. Kind of like... Unless you plan on just doing that again and just shining it up.
Yeah, well, the Psycho movie, like they did it shot for shot, the remake of it.
Yeah.
And it did terribly, but...
I didn't need that either. Yeah. But also, I was never like a big Psycho fan. I wasn't like pumped for it.
Well, if we would have saw Psycho back in the day, we'd be like, this is my mind. Yeah. But we've seen a million scary movies that probably, like you said, like saw that, loved it, and then went and did something else that pushed the envelope a little bit more to where that's like tame and bullshit to us.
Yeah.
That's all the movies I've seen. It follows in RoboCop.
Oh, okay.
But I did want to mention Stephen Amell, Arrow, is going to be Casey in the new Turtles
movie. Yeah, I heard that.
That's cool as fuck.
That's cool. I like Casey. I'm into that. He's my favorite character.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to have the hockey mask and like the fucking...
Fucking better.
And the golf club bag and shit.
Yeah.
That was so cool. So cool.
Filled with hockey sticks.
Did you know that the Turtles existed in the same universe as Daredevil?
No.
What? Yeah, the same isotope that blinded Daredevil dripped into the sewers and fucking created the Turtles.
Huh.
Isn't that sick? But they can't like say that because they're not owned by Marvel, but the creators like back in the day were like, yeah, it came from the same isotope as Daredevil.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so fucking rad.
Wait, who owns Turtles?
IDW, I think. Well, at least they do the comic, I'm pretty sure.
They could make a lot of money if they sold that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that idea.
Yeah.
But Marvel would be merging. Like, hey, fuck you. Make it the U's again. Not our isotope. By the way, I started watching the first episode of Daredevil. Holy fuck.
I know.
Foggy's a man. He's so good.
That's one of my favorite fucking actors.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. What's his name?
I forget his name.
Okay. You really like him.
Well, I like him in Battle of Shaker Heights.
Oh, right on. Yeah.
And he was probably the only good actor in Butterfly Effect.
Oh, shit, you're right. He played the fat kid.
Yeah.
Right on. Eldon Henson? Yeah.
That's why I forgot it. It's a weird name.
Yeah, it is a weird name. But yeah, he's fucking awesome. He's good comic relief stuff.
He was in that...
And Deja Vu.
He was in the Death and Return of Superman.
Was he?
He plays Doomsday.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. He's Doomsday.
That's
awesome.
That's sick. If you guys haven't seen Death and Return of Superman, you should check it out. It's on YouTube.
Last two things I saw. Wilfred, season 4, finale. Okay.
Yeah.
Broke my heart.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I get real... I really wanted... certain things to happen in that show, and they didn't.
Season finale or series?
Well, it's the series finale, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, season 4 is... I don't know how they can wrap it up any nicer and cleaner than they did.
Right.
If there is a 5th season, I don't know about it.
Wait, oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, meaning it felt like the last...
Episode,
yeah. Mm. It felt like that's it. Yeah. Like the end of Breaking Bad, you're like, oh, that's the end.
Yep, was it.
It wasn't that brutal,
yeah,
but...
God, Breaking Bad's so good.
Damn right. And then I watched Swearnet, the movie.
Swearnet?
Swearnet. You should check out the website and the film.
All right.
Swearnet.
Is it like fear.com?
Swearnet.com is made by the three guys from Trailer Park Boys.
All right.
When they got censored so shittily in Canada when they had all these movie ideas and like skit ideas, and they kept saying, well, you can limit it to 2 fucks a movie and like this and that. And
that's weird.
One,
why not
one bitch an episode. I mean, it was really weird because they
Trailer Park Boys, they say fuck almost, like, so much in that show.
Yeah, and they wanted, what they did was they wanted to break off and make like a skit show. And they had all these skits and shit, and then they pretty much told them to fuck off.
Fuck off, Ricky. So come on, Canada.
And they pretty much did. They're like, okay, cool, we'll fuck off. And they made SwearNet.com for $4.20 a month.
That's awesome.
You can get like hundreds of videos of them. And Jay Roach, the guy who plays, Randy.
Okay.
He's in a bunch of them. Mr. Leahy's in a bunch of them.
That's sick.
They have a bunch of, I forget the guy's name. Ah, can't even think of it. But they're all so fucked up and so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And, like Extreme Weather with Jay Roach. He just goes outside and he's like, the fucking weather is fucked out here. I'll get your cunts inside unless you want to get fucked out here.
It's almost as if like he's just trying to say as much vulgarity as possible.
If you watch SwearNet, there's probably 1,000 fucks.
That's fantastic that it's called SwearNet.
1,000 fucks.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll check that out.
I'm not sure if it was a mandate in the script, but I'm pretty sure they add a fuck to every sentence. Like, almost to the point where you're like, holy fuck. Like, you're kind of, like, worn out. Because he's like, now what the fucking fuck are we going to fucking do? I'm not fucking sitting here all day. Like, you're like, holy shit.
But I feel
shit.
Like it's that Family Guy approach to where if you do it enough, it becomes funny again. Like, it's, like, funny at first, then burned out, then hilarious.
Because they come up with these little one-liners about Randy and stuff. Like, he'll be passed out because he plays Swear Man, this guy who dresses up like a superhero.
Hell yeah.
Gets drunk and then just makes an ass of himself. They'll call him, like, a fucking drunken walrus manatee fat fuck cunt. Like, they're really bad, like really fucked up shit. You would absolutely love it.
I probably would.
Swearing at the right movie up, on Netflix.
Seems right up my alley. All right, right on.
Check it
out. You want to go into genre 5?
Genre 5.
Saddest movies. What were you in between? Saddest movies or
sequels?
Sequels, and we chose saddest movies. I felt like it was a bit of a challenge.
I know.
But at the same time, I'm like, well, I guess we just have to think of movies that made us cry or feel shitty. So it actually wasn't that hard.
Uh-uh. There's a lot of movies that move you to
and
that
honestly,
feeling.
You can just pretty much put in any Disney movie.
Yeah.
And Toy Story 3 even. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
When toys are okay with dying, you're like, I guess I am too. God damn it.
I guess I'm going to go home and just kill myself. Yeah. No. End of an era.
Oh, man. What are yours?
First on my list is, see, there are movies you probably haven't seen, so it's hard to, like, Monster.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. It's about Eileen something, that killer murdered a bunch of hitchhikers that wanted
just to watch them die.
Just because they wanted to fuck her brains out, because...
Literally just murdering drifters.
Just, honestly, murdering dudes who wanted to buy sex, and her... And her lover were, like, on the run for these murders. And for some weird reason, I recall, like, the first time I watched it, I didn't think much of it. And then I watched it again, and I remember it was in the basement, like, just watching it alone.
Your parents' basement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, like, couldn't, like, bawling at, like, the sadness because I knew what was going to happen. Real weird, like, because Christina Ricci kicks ass and... what is her name? Charlize Theron won the Academy that year.
Yeah, I remember that.
For her performance. And it's just such a fucking weird love story.
That movie had a huge buzz when it came out.
Yeah, and they're so tragic. And, like, fucking Charlize Theron's character just so fucked. And Christina Ricci's just, like, this broken, sad, like, doesn't know what to do. I mean, it sucks, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole theme of the movie is shitty.
Yeah, like, get ready to get sad, people.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's the next one?
This is a twofer.
Okay.
Twofers here. I put American Crime and The Girl Next Door because they're based off the same story.
American Crime is heartbreaking. Oh, that ended that movie. Let's not spoil it. Go see American Crime right now. Don't stop.
The Girl Next Door.
I don't think I've seen The Girl Next Door.
Just as fucked up and horrid.
Did it have like that good of an ending?
Yeah. Well, it is that ending.
But I mean, like, how they shot that
ending. Oh, no, yeah, it is tragic.
Because like, the way they shot that, you're like... Like, I mean, like, it's almost like they give you the hope and then they dash. Like,
exactly. No, exactly.
Wow.
Both of those films impacted me nearly, like, perfectly the same.
Yeah, Gertie. That was the... Fucking bitch. Yeah, American Crime is fantastic. I can't speak for Girl Next Door, but I believe you. So that was two, like...
That was number two.
Okay.
Just those, because those movies, that story is number two.
Just fucked,
And because it's true. It's based off real events.
That's
fucking
sucks.
Horrific. Yeah. My third one is Finding Neverland.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, God.
Is it good?
So sad. So it's based off of...
not Michael Jackson, right?
No, okay. Not at all. It's based off of...
I literally thought it was a documentary.
The boy that is the inspiration for Peter Pan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Johnny... who's in that? Kate Winslet and... Did you say Johnny Quest?
Yeah,
I was thinking Johnny Cage.
I was like, Quest.
Johnny Depp. We're dumbasses.
Yeah.
Very sad. Very tragic story indeed. Highly recommend Finding Neverland. And it's whimsical, too. It's got, like, Peter Pan-y parts, but it's based in from the writer's point of view of writing the story of Peter Pan.
Right on.
Fourth on my list, Hotel Rwanda.
I haven't seen it.
For obvious reasons. It's about the... decimation of like 2 million people in a few weeks.
Wow.
Rwanda was fucked.
Which is that, like, storm? A bomb?
Are you serious?
I don't know.
Right up.
Nothing's clicking right now.
The Hutus were a group of people in Rwanda, and they just started
murdering.
Tutsi.
Was it like a militant thing?
There was military involved, yeah, eventually.
But were they like a makeshift military of their own, and then they just started murdering? Okay, yeah.
But it was also predominantly like rebels doing their own thing.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Because they were just pretty much like, I'm trying to think of something that even in our culture would like relate to it. It would be like Christians killing like Jewish people just out of nowhere one day. It was just like, fuck it, let's do it.
Or like the Nazis.
Yeah.
That would have been a good comparison. The Christians.
Well, no, I mean, but it's...
feeding the...
No, in our country today.
I gotcha.
There would, like...
Oh, it would be like that.
And it's just, like, brothers fighting brothers and, like, cousins fighting cousins. But the... I want to say it's the Hutu and, like, the Tutsi or something. Those are the two, like, nationalities of people. And, like, millions of people died. A horrible fucking movie. Don Cheadle... is in it, and it pretty much just shows him trying to like run a hotel and like cater to all these survivors.
And, like, so it's like a hospital turns into?
Yeah, it turns into like a refugee camp for these. And like he gets threatened, like he's being told, like,
yeah, it's kind of like Schindler's
let him
List.
Go, like bring him out, bring him out here, let him go so we can kill them, mm-hmm. stop holding them,
right?
And then eventually, like, the political, like, there were Americans there.
Yeah.
And they were kind of, like, defending, and they were saying, yeah, we'll take him out.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, we can't.
He's doing good.
Just stay here, guys. Good luck. Bye.
Good luck. Later.
My fifth one is Harold and Maude.
Never seen it either.
Incredible. Fucking.
Did I only see one movie that you mentioned?
Yeah, probably.
Jesus.
Incredibly unique love story. And it's not even, I mean, yeah, it's just a fucking awesome movie all around. It was like 70s, but it's about this kid, and he meets this older lady who, like, pretty much is like a recluse, kind of like nobody likes her, kind of piece of shit. And he's really attracted to her. He's obsessed with death. Like, he likes, like, you know, coffins and graveyards and shit. And then she starts pretty much, like, you know, showing him all of her fucked up analyzations of the world. And then he starts, like, pretty much they just, like, you know, they've realized they're perfect for each other in terms of, like, a friendship.
Right.
And that's all it is like, two people finding connections in the world.
And it's sad because one of them dies. Because
something happens. Yeah.
As always. All right, I got Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, that's sad. Ass to ass.
Oh, God. Ass to ass. That end of that movie just completely... I remember feeling, like, one of the most horrible feelings I've ever felt after watching that. Like, I was just like, I don't feel like I should have watched this. It, like, stuck with me.
Yeah.
A couple days, I was just, like, bummed out. I was like,
I think,
fuck.
Looking at Ellen Bernstein when she's rolling out with, like, the green fried hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or, like, walking through the city and shit. Oh, man. The beautifully shot. Love the score of that movie, but Jesus Christ, is it a bummer. The Green Mile.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly because of Mr. Bojangles. No, I'm kidding.
Damn mouse.
I love that mouse. But yeah, Green Mile, that stuck with me a lot, too. I remember that it was a 2 VHS.
John Candy.
Yeah, yeah. What's
his name?
Coffee.
John Coffee, yeah.
John Candy.
I like John Candy.
Yeah, you do. Uncle Buck. But yeah, like, I remember it came out in that double VHS tape, and it was just a really cool movie. Yeah. I really dug Tom Hanks and stuff, and Michael, what's his name?
Clark Duncan.
Yeah, I really like his performance and shit, and it's got the dude from Choke. Can't remember his name either right now.
Sam Rockwell.
Thank you. that's why you're here. But yeah, they all had like really awesome performances, and the guy that played Percy, he married that like 16-year-old girl.
Percy.
Yeah, that was like the shitty one that didn't wet the sponge.
Yeah, yeah.
And even there was a lot of just cool character acting in that movie. But there's a lot of people in that movie, actually, now come to think of it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that movie broke my fucking heart.
Yeah.
There's so many parts you're just like, why? Come on. I think that was written by Stephen King, right?
Yeah.
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 E.T.
Oh, I forgot about E.T. That is kind of sad.
It is.
I'm happy, too.
Yeah, yeah. It had a good resolve, but there's... Jesus Christ. Like, when he's losing his best friend, they're both, like, dying because they're both connected. Jesus Christ.
Oh, and they can't grab each other.
Yeah, and he's screaming at him. I was just like, fuck, this is so fucking emotional.
That movie scared the living shit out of me when I was
a kid. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The lighting in the house when they're eating dinner creeped me out.
The steam coming off the dishes and the shot from outside really fucked me up, too. I don't know why, but, like...
A lot of that movie... Marty McFly's family eating dinner when they order pizza in the first Back to the Future, and their family just she throws the cake on the table and she's like, yeah, now that here's the cake for what's his name in jail.
Right
I thought that was just like the evilest, shittiest family look ever.
It's something about that time period how they shot it. I don't know, it's weird, but yeah, E.T. really stuck with me. Mr. Holland's Opus.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, that movie's so good. I haven't seen it in so long, but I remember that movie sticking with me really hard. What's up?
Fuck, I'm thinking honorable mention now, and I'm thinking Dead Poets Society.
That's, yep.
Is it on there?
Yeah.
Mr. Hollins led me to Dead Poets.
Yeah, that's my last one. Oh, Captain, My Captain. Jesus Christ, does that movie have a bummer of a fucking ending?
Yeah.
Honorable mention was Up and Mighty Joe Young.
Up and Mighty Joe Young.
Oh man, when that monkey falls off that fucking the Ferris wheel, dude, like I was like, holy shit.
Oh, it does tumble.
Yeah, and then it looked like he died, but then of course he didn't because it's a Disney
What
movie.
About I was just
Lion
thinking,
King? Yeah, I know, me too. No.
Secret Lives of Altar Boys.
Yeah. That definitely had a Dead Poets Society type ending too. That movie was fucking rad. That was Kieran Culkin, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love Kieran Culkin.
Yeah.
Also now I'm thinking fantastic. Now I'm thinking
Did you get them all off the top of your dome, or did you like fucking?
I had
them
to
up?
Think about these.
Yeah, yeah. I went online and was like typed in saddest movies that like in like looked at their list and I was like, which ones impacted me? There's a couple on there. I was like, whatever.
Yes.
Like Notebook obviously was on there and shit.
Oh yeah.
The Elephant Man.
Yeah. John Malik. Yeah.
But yeah, fucking Mr. Holland's Opus is fantastic. It's very slow movie, but basically like a guy that he's a conductor of an orchestra, and he gives. Well, his wife gives birth to a deaf son, and they're fucking, like, all he wanted, like, the thing that he loves in life so much, like, his son can't even experience, and they just butt heads so much. It's heartbreaking. Really good story, though, and Dead Poets Society, I mean, you're robbing yourself.
If you haven't seen that, go get something.
Yeah, holy shit, you'll want to stand on a fucking desk at the end of that movie. Like, it is, oh, man, it is fucking heartbreaking.
That's a fucking great movie.
Is Colin Hanks in that?
Is he?
I don't know.
Young as fuck?
I don't know, maybe. Hold on, let me check that out. But yeah, Dead Poets Society, I remember Bob showed it to me. He was like, you have to see this movie. And that was like...
I know the one dude went on to be an ER. He was one of the main characters
really?
In ER, yeah.
And I was wrong. Yep. Never mind.
Colin?
Wasn't it? Ethan Hawke was.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
But yeah, Dead Poets Society, Bob showed me that. And it was at a very like... good time period in my life to be shown that movie. Like, I think I was like 20 years old, and I was like, oh man, it just hit me like really hard. But yeah, fantastic movie. And that wraps up genre 5. Do you have any other honorable mentions?
Well, I was thinking Virgin Suicides.
Oh yeah, that's a fucked up one.
Pretty rough.
That last scene is
pretty
just
pretty rough.
Really bad. Really bad.
That one's kind of obviously rough though.
Yeah, you knew you going could, into yeah, that.
You're not watching Virgin Suicides thinking, is this gonna be like a action movie or...
Yeah.
What am I running here?
Yeah, you know that it's like, well, this is going to be a bummer. Dead Poets Society, though, that one, like, you're just like, fuck, come on, man.
Well,
really?
That one, I got into it, and I'm, like, inspired.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
they just tear you
watch
the fuck
me
down.
Rip the fucking rug out from under you.
What, What Dreams May Come To, that's another fucking really sad movie, but also beautiful message.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, through that, you get that.
I'm about to say, it's more so they put all the fucking sadness up front and then a little bit in, like, the third act, and then, like, everything kind of, like,
yeah. And, okay. Like, I had to distinct that as well, because I think The Fountain is tragically sad.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, inspired at the very end.
I forgot about that. Yeah, because I remember when we rewatched that for the in-depth, like, that movie hit me way harder that time, because I was really trying to analyze. I was like, fuck, man, this is a really bummer of a movie.
Yeah. It's a desolate movie with, like, also, like, oh, man, so personal and desolate.
Yeah,
cool.
All right, man. So, let's
go. That was
go.
Fun.
Oh, man, God. Yeah, here's a tissue.
Crying my dick's off.
Test the Tony, Dark City. I did not rewatch this, and I'm kind of bummed that I didn't, because I was really looking forward to it.
He can tune.
He can tune. But I have seen the movie quite a bit, own it. I think I bought it twice or three times now, because I've, like, lent it to someone, they never give it back, or a dog bit through the fucking DVD case. But yeah, fantastic movie. Definitely feels like The Matrix to me.
It makes me wish I had a short syllable last name. Mr. Wood.
Yeah.
Mr. Sphere.
Yeah, you have Sansonetti. That's not quite
enough. Mr. Sansonetti. No.
Wolf. Mr. Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about your name.
Be jealous.
Yeah, I was like, fuck him.
Born into it.
1998.
Wow.
Yeah.
Matrix was 96?
What?
Was it 2000? Was it 99? It was 99.
99,
I think so.
Because it was right before the millennium.
Yeah, it was, which is kind of cool, because that means Dark City was, like, probably a forefront to The Matrix, because it felt like The Matrix.
When I think Dark City, I think Batman, I think...
I think, what's that movie? Not Hollow Man. Dark Man.
Dark Man, yeah.
With fucking Liam Neeson yelling
those
at that cat.
Those fucking cities...
Look cool as fuck.
Are... That film noir 20s
definitely.
Fucking
cities. You're talking about like Batman Returns era. Yeah, okay. And even the TV show.
Always raining.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, never, so cool. Never sunlight. Yeah.
Or The Crow.
The Crow. That's the only other city that
rains
or
forever.
Like Seven. Yeah. All those cities are so shitty. And
except for that last part of Seven.
Yeah.
In the field.
Well, that's where you're supposed to almost be like, open your eyes to this truth.
Yeah.
No more haze under the screen. God, it's all so out good. In the open, baby.
But yeah,
it's
so
fucking head.
What's in the box? What's in the box? Dark City, though. Yeah, I fucking love this movie. Go ahead.
Yeah,
tell me about
William Hurt.
Obviously, it passed the test of Tony.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
100%. I think Mr. Giles told me to watch Dark City.
That's
our
awesome.
Woods teacher from high school. He was like, "You gotta check out Dark City," and I was like, "All right,
it's great."
So probably 2005-ish or 4, I've checked it out. Oh, God damn, that movie's rad.
You don't expect it either, because you're like, okay, well, these guys are kind of evil, but they're not doing anything special. Oh, my God, they're fucking aliens.
Yeah. And not only that, it had, like, the Inception city moving and stuff like that, too. Yeah. I thought was cool.
It's great.
Yeah.
I think...
Inspired
people
a lot.
Watched, Dark City and was like, oh, wow.
But I feel like not a lot of people saw Dark City. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, like, a lot of, like, the film people that went on to make movies probably saw it, and that's why they took a lot from it. But I feel like that movie isn't, like, I'll say Dark City and people be like, what? And I'm like, oh, my God.
I don't know if it's an original story. I can't quote on whether or not it was just an original screenplay or if it's based off a book or a graphic novel or fucking anything.
Wait,
but
what year did you say it was?
98.
Okay. So, yeah.
So, you got William Hurt. You got Kiefer Sutherland, Jennifer Connelly.
Mm-hmm.
My phone recorrected Kiefer to Kroger. And I almost said that.
Kroger Sutherland. And Rufus Sewell, which you don't really see. Which,
is he the main character?
Yeah, John Murdock.
Don't know. Yeah. Love the name.
A Knight's Tale and The Illusionist. I don't remember him in The Illusionist.
He must have been a sub-character.
But also The Illusionist, I don't really remember that much of, because I saw The Illusionist and...
The Prestige?
At the same time, and Prestige fucking eclipsed that motherfucker.
See, that's...
But Illusionist is still amazing.
I almost need to not... They did not need to come out at the same time.
No, but it's like Deep Impact Armageddon type thing. Or like Volcano Dante's Peak.
Yeah.
They were like, no, we'll do it first. And then they just bring them out at the same
time.
Which
is a bummer, because they should just stand on
their
own. Because
The
Illusionist is different. It's totally different.
Yeah, but The Prestige is just such a fucking rad movie.
Oh, if you just put the DVDs next to me, you're like,
Which one do you want to watch?
Island, you're going to. Pick one.
Yeah, Prestige.
Prestige. Thousand times over.
I mean, David Bowie is fucking
Nikola Tesla.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Okay, so, obviously, I'm assuming we're talking as if these people have seen this film? I won't give every plot point away. I did disclose that they were aliens, but I think you get that feeling when you see them floating in the trailer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if they've seen the trailer.
Yeah. either way, gorgeous steampunk noir.
Yeah, definitely.
Fucking film noir fucking look. Gothic metropolis looking cities all shrouded in darkness and shadow. It's gorgeous. All the vibrant greens that you got in The Matrix. All the filthy fucking streets from The Crow.
Right, right.
All beautiful, just fucking.
That's like the perfect way to
scenery.
Describe that, honestly.
Yeah. I was really happy when I was saying it. I was like, this is really getting the film.
$27 million budget.
Wow.
He made 309,000 euros.
Mother of pearl.
848,000 by 1998. I wonder.
It must have blown up in DVD sales, or are we the only people that enjoy it?
14 million grossed in the USA by 98. Yeah. Weird. That's insane.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I got like $1 million the first weekend. That sucks.
Honestly, that's fucking weird.
1,500 screens, too.
But then The 13th Floor, that took a big old fucking shit at the box office, too,
yeah,
and that's a sick movie. So it obviously glints back to, like, a mixture of times between, like, I'd say 20s to 60s.
Yeah. You don't really know how to pinpoint it.
And it's because there's things happening in the film that make it not definable.
It has a really cool ending to it.
Yeah, and I want to say, oh man, even the work they do with all of the, there is CG in it, and the CG looks fucking incredible. It's little teeny bits.
Decent for the time.
Decent
Holds
for the
up.
Time, but the practical stuff, it's almost as if they wanted it to look like that 1920s film, like. It looks almost shitty if you analyze it from a quality. Like, is this seamless?
Like,
no.
Yeah, like a technical aspect.
Yeah, is this a seamless shot? No, but is the cinematography so gorgeous because you're still enjoying it even though it's unbelievable?
Right, I think the storyline just that good to where you're like, it's forgiving.
Oh,
does that make
man,
sense?
Man, even when that scene where he just wakes up, I'm like, oh, I'm in for it.
It's kind of like Memento.
Yeah, because he wakes up in a fucking bathtub going...
He doesn't know where he doesn't have any memories,
that?
Really, and shit. Yeah. And, but yeah, like, the payoff of that movie's completely worth
it. I love
watch.
How there's some movies will walk them through from start to finish. Others
I'm
are
trying
like,
not,
don't give it away!
I'm actually trying to, implicate that. Yeah, because...
Check this shit out.
Yeah, because I'd rather talk about shit and be like, go watch it now, instead of being like, this is what happens.
One of
the
most satisfying endings...
Yeah, definitely.
...to a film that... is sci-fi, but is more film noir. More feels like a fucking old L.A. detective film.
Yeah, definitely.
Than a fucking sci-fi film.
It's like an L.A. detective film with sci-fi elements all around it. Based like, the whole storyline's based on a sci-fi thing, but it's shot like a L.A. noir.
Oh, my God. There's the shot of a table, a spinning table.
Yeah.
Down underneath... I'm trying to say things to you without saying anything.
Okay.
There's that, it's on the box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a circle table that sprawls you out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shot of that thing twisting when it lays him from 90 degrees to 180.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So fucking cool.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just the smooth motion of those, like, actual mechanical pieces that they made for the film.
Yeah, that and, practical. Like,
yeah, the beat-down leather that looks like Edward Scissorhands. And
nice, yeah, good call.
Yeah.
The Crow was in 94.
God, The Crow is awesome.
Insane. They're going to have to remake that.
Fire
at some
it
point.
Up.
Right now? Okay.
No,
Go Burn Books? No.
Fire it up.
Oh, right on. I thought you meant, like, put it in.
My test of Tony says that you should be going and getting a copy of this for probably, what, $1.50?
Yeah, go to the record exchange
or some
shit.
Any cheap fucking DVD store.
Honestly,
you
can probably find
of?
A new copy of it at Walmart.
For
but,
five, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking rad. I love that movie so much. I was so happy that Mr. Jobs told me to watch that. So weird that he told me to watch that, too.
Beautiful.
Amazing. All right. Head on into the in-depth. I'm pumped
tired,
on this.
Dude. I'm getting so tired thinking about cool movies.
Your Red Bull is...
It's far gone.
It's far gone. We did Unbreakable for the in-depth.
Yes, 2000.
It is... wow, that's insane. It is on Netflix. We won't spoil what happens, but I mean, like, you can kind of, like, I don't know. It's not like an M. Night... It has an M. Night twist to
it's
it.
It's not
but
an M. Night classic style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like, he's been dead this whole time. Spoilers.
But... I read in a fucking interview that M. Night said that out of all the films he's ever made...
It's his favorite.
It's his fucking favorite.
Quentin Tarantino
That's
said
so
it was one of
weird.
His favorite movies, too.
That's so weird because M. Night is so M. Night-y.
Yeah.
And this movie, think the one that's not really him by
definition.
And that's
why, that's kind of what I like about it, that it's not M. Night-y.
Oh, I love it. It's not.
Because, like, with Signs, like, didn't feel like M. Night-y as well, but, like, The Village, Devil, The Happening, Sixth Sense, even Sixth Sense stands
is
the test of time.
Yeah.
I love that movie still, but The Happening fucking blows.
Yep. Devil kind of, yeah, Devil blows, yeah.
I didn't really like dig Devil at all. Signs I loved. But Swing Away, Meryl.
Signs is great.
But this movie is so enthralling. And I thought that it was really cool that, like, since he had a big enough name, that he was able to be like, I want to make a comic book movie that's not a comic book movie, but is a comic book movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, just do whatever you want. You're going to make us $1 billion anyway.
Yeah, who are you going to cast?
Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson. They're like, fucking go ahead. I can see
fun.
My wallet growing already. But yeah, I just think it's really cool that he was able to go to the public, because with his name attached to anything, people were just going to see his flicks no matter what.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, M. Night, I like Sixth Sense and Signs. Yeah. I'm going to go see this new movie. I'm not really sure how it did at the box office. I don't have the numbers. I'll look it up here in a second.
Frank Underwood's wife is in that movie too.
Claire?
She's Bruce Willis's wife.
Aubrey?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Swear.
Not only that, Doug Stanford is the doctor that talks to him at the beginning after the train wreck.
Doug Stamper is?
Stamper, my bad. Yeah.
Yeah, you see the bald spot.
They don't show his face, but his voice. Like, I was looking down on my computer typing notes and then I hear it. I was like, what the fuck? That's amazing. But yeah.
So two characters from that are in.
That's neat.
House
I
Cards.
Didn't. I did not even catch that. Aubrey or Audrey, I can't remember her name, was in that. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Mr. Glass, and this is right off the bat here. We're not ruining anything. Awesome origin story. Really cool. And
so badass. And it starts with that.
Yeah. And I thought that was really cool. Also, fucking.
Did you drop him?
Yeah. Oh man, the doctor. That his performance is really cool, and the mom is fucking heartbreakingly amazing. That part where she so basically this kid's born with hold on, I got this.
It's a real disease.
Osteogenesis imperfecta. And it is real, but it's very rare. And basically, his body doesn't make a protein to make his bones strong. So, a stiff breeze will break his arm, basically.
Yeah.
So the kid, comes out and basically just has broken legs and arms from
being born
in utero. Yeah. They're like, what the fuck? Did you drop the baby? They're like, no. Fuck no. Of course not.
No, dude.
Can I have him back? And they're like, no, we need an ambulance. This thing's fucking fucked. But,
it's the worst day for anyone ever.
There's a shot. One really cool thing that I read and I didn't pick up on. There's a lot of things that I read and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis's character is always surrounded by green and always wearing green. Mr. Glass is always surrounded by purple and wearing purple like a comic book character. They have their fucking, the
color. It makes you feel like them when you look at them.
Yeah, you see something and you instantly relate it to, even though your brain's not really understanding why.
Yeah.
Kind of like in The Sixth Sense with the red door knob and the red dress. He's really good about putting colors in places, which I think is awesome and he's underrated for that, because everyone's like, oh, fuck him, it's just going to be some bullshit ending. I feel he gets that rap instead of, a really an imaginative and also just, very thorough, almost like Kubrick, in his directing. Like, there's a reason for every single fucking shot.
That's cool.
When they show Mr. Glass, Samuel Jackson's character, Elijah is his name, when they show him as a kid, he's in a sling, it's off of a TV.
Yeah.
It's reflective, also glass.
Yeah.
When Bruce Willis finds the card, it's on his windshield, it's glass. There's so many fucking different things.
His cane's made of glass.
And that was actually Samuel Jackson's idea to use the cane. I thought that was really neat.
We know some trivia.
Yeah, whatever. hold on. There's as a newborn, he's primarily reflected off the mirrors. Young child, you see him in the TV.
Yeah.
The calling card on that thing. He's reflective in a glass frame in his art gallery. In that shot of him in the TV as a child, when his mom comes up, she's like, you've been in this room long enough, you have to go outside. He's like, they call me Mr. Glass because I break like glass. He's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to fucking hurt myself.
And then when he looks out the window, he reflects.
Yeah. And she, it's so fucking beautiful. She's like, I got you a present. And he's like, why? My fucking heart broke. Like, he's just like, why? I don't do anything. Like, I don't need.
Yeah.
And
I don't deserve.
And she's like, why doesn't matter right now? And she's like, do you want it? And he was like, yeah. And then, they go, she's like, well, then you better go get it. Where is it? It's outside on a bench in a park, so he has to cross the street. Like, there's obvious danger. But, I mean, like, nothing that you would think if you didn't have this, like, bird bone syndrome. This,
I tripped on a fucking rock and shattered my body.
And he goes over to the bench, and this is one of the coolest shots ever. Opens up the purple wrapping paper, then there's purple, like, packing paper in it, and then it's a comic book. I can't remember. I think it was Action Comics.
Yeah.
And the shot of it is from his point of view, and the comic is upside down. And he crosses his arms on both sides of the comic and then spins it, and the camera spins with it. I thought that was fucking beautiful.
He does a couple shots that are like track shots like that in the film that you're kind of like...
The lifting when he's trying out the weights. Yeah. And like as he pushes it up, the camera goes up with the weights and then back down to his... that's why I think that he gets such a bad rap because of like that, gotcha, bitch, like at the end of his movies. That this one's so fucking good.
I love how his kid... gradually is in the closet hiding when he puts the weights on.
Yeah.
He starts standing at the edge of the bench. Yeah. By the end, when he's putting on all of the weight that he can,
right,
he's all the way in the closet with the door open, like looking out.
Yeah.
I was like, so fucking cool, because he, every time he does it, the kid's like, he's gonna hurt himself.
Yeah. I mean, it's... when you watch the movie, and if you're like a fan of like comic books now, you can see so much like things that he was putting into these movies already, and this is like a love letter to comic books. Like, that's all this movie is. Like, M. Night just loves them so much. And, like, such a brilliant play on it, because it's, like, almost a realistic take.
Very close. Probably as realistic as a take could be without being superhero movie-ish.
Right, exactly.
As leaving it as normal as possible and plausible.
Yeah.
Almost plausible. I mean, except for the idea... How are we talking? How much are we talking here? We discussed the glass ability. Bruce Willis's abilities seem to be that he has a superhuman immune system.
Right. He's
never been sick.
Well, he can't remember that.
I
thought it was a cool take, and he's like, "Have you ever been sick?" And he's like, "I don't know. I guess I never really thought about
it." Yeah, he has to ask other people, like,
and
if
they
remember.
Was kind of, it was believable. That he was like, I don't know, I don't really remember. Because if you never have, you just never, it would never really, like, you know, you're not like, why haven't I been sick? You wouldn't really ask yourself that.
Wow, it's such a beautiful, like, dynamic.
Between the two of them.
Well, because they're supposed to be polar opposites.
Yeah.
And they define that in the film so beautifully.
Yeah, definitely.
He's like, once I knew who you were, I knew who I was.
Yeah, there's a reason for
fuck.
Me.
Yeah, like, I exist now.
Yeah, like, he has validity.
Oh, it's
for
gorgeous.
Being how he is. The thing that's, like, you know, made him just, like, hate his life so much. And he owns, what's the comic shop, or the gallery that he owns?
Fuck, what's that called?
Oh,
Second Edition?
No, Limited Edition.
Limited Edition.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Just the, in his, like, pride of comics, this guy walks into a shop and he's like, hey, he's explaining the piece, like, in detail. Like, he's giving all the reasons why
show
you shouldn't get it.
Comic, yeah.
Yeah, and like, I mean, like, he's like, this is an original art piece from the artist. He's like, this is before it hit stands and they made it all, like, pretty and shit, and like for the kids, he's like, this is like what, and like why the jaws are a certain way, like the villains have
drawing.
Pointy jaws, the heroes will have like really like squared jaws and stuff, which you can even see in like Loki compared to Thor.
Yeah,
that's what I kind of thought of when he said that. And the guy's like, oh man, my son's gonna go berserk. And he's like, say again please. And he's like, my son, he's like, how old's your son? He's like, 4. He's like, no, get out. He's like, this is bull. He's like, this is
he's
a
like,
piece
what?
Of what? Well, huh? And I love that, like, because I even feel like at that time...
Oh, then he mocks him. He's like, do you see any children running around?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, are there Teletubbies in here?
Yeah.
But I thought that was so cool because he had, like, that thing of, like, comic
integrity.
Books are... These things are valid pieces of art. And not only that, his, like, explanation of, like, Egyptians were writing on walls. He's like, this is our last form of, like, a true storytelling.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was fucking beautiful. Like I said,
you must have thought this was a toy store.
Yeah. I just thought it was really cool that M. Night could take that kind of spin on something that even people...
The mythology behind, like,
and now people take that as,
legends.
Like,
yeah.
Little, like, they're like, yeah, that's how comic books are. But I don't think this movie gets enough credit for being one of the forefathers of that movement.
Oh, no. I don't know many people that say, oh, Unbreakable, really great if you're into comics.
Yeah.
Really great if you really want to watch a comic movie.
Yeah. It's so fucking
They're like,
good.
Oh, go watch, like, Scott Pilgrim. Like, other movies that are more obviously built off of
it. Well, yeah, or Iron Man. Something.
Yeah,
that's what
or
I
go
like.
Watch a comic book movie.
Honestly, if they would have made this, I don't know if it... I don't think this came from a comic. I'm pretty sure he wrote and directed this, correct?
His own, like, yeah.
Yeah, but if this was made a comic, like, I feel like this would have been one of those, like, sleeper comics that people are like, this is the shit, like Sweet Tooth or Saga or something of that nature. I think people would have really gotten behind it in a big, bad way if it didn't have his name attached to it. That's what the bummer about him is. Now his name's attached to shit, and people are like, fuck him already.
Yep.
It sucks. Just because of, like, Devil and Lady in the Water and fucking Happening.
It's a bummer. There's a scene where... where Bruce Willis has a paper. I'm not going to say anything else about it, but like he shows the son.
Oh,
something.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool.
That killed me.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool,
beautiful
moments,
fucking emotions in that film.
Yeah. There's just a lot.
Musically too. The score, like during like certain, more actiony scenes or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, It broke my heart. Yeah,
it felt very. I'm like, cinematic is a dumb word to use, but that's exactly how it was. It's just gigantic, like the movie itself. But it's also very like small,
personal. Just a guy, and then I love how there's one line. It's not giving anything away. He's like, you know what you are. I know what I am. But that's where the similarity to comics ends.
Yeah.
Now you have to, like, going out there and doing something is not like a comic.
No, yeah. You can't, like, this shit
and
isn't real.
Like, Kick-Ass defines that a lot in their films. Like, kind of like, I didn't think it'd be like this when I went out there to try to fight crime.
It's like a real-world take on a comic book.
Yeah.
But not like Batman, to where, like, if you're rich and
but
your parents
you,
die,
you
have money.
Still, you still have disbelief there because, I mean, there's still, like, a wonder to it because
definitely.
He has things that you don't have,
right, obviously.
So don't go try it.
Yeah, and they're, like, it's cool because they don't go, like, super into, like, his, like, powers, but they do give you, like, a little bit of the story, and you're just like, holy shit, that's
rad. Or, like, things that he, like, instincts that are kind of like, everyone has instincts.
Instinct was the coolest thing about that. Samuel Jackson explains.
House and Evolution of Instinct.
Yeah, he's just like, well, like, these superheroes have X-ray vision or they're invisible. He's like, maybe it's just, like, making it grander than it is, but really it's just an instinct that you have that no one else really does.
Yeah.
Or that people haven't learned to hone well.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know.
Spider sense just being evolved instinct.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't, like...
It's cool.
Talk this movie up enough, but I mean, usually when I watch in-depth, I'm taking notes and I'm like doing some other stuff. Not like a lot, but this movie, I barely took any notes.
And I want you to watch them like you watch this all the time.
Yeah. Well,
because that's the best. You felt good after it.
But this movie though, I haven't seen it in probably like 5 years, and Jesus Christ, it is so fucking watchable.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
And I was laughing because it hit Netflix like a few days after we announced it. And I was like,
no, it was a little bit before that because I started watching it on Netflix and I was like, we should watch this.
Oh, see, I didn't see it on my list.
Yeah. Because I started watching it and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm not even going to talk about this on the next podcast. I'm not going to finish watching it because I want to do an in-depth on it because I think this movie's really underrated
and it's very awesome.
Yeah. One thing that I didn't realize the first time viewing it, when he gets into the car, Elijah, after the... stadium before he chases the guy with the camouflage coat.
Yeah.
He throws his cane on his seat and it bounces like 5 times. His whole car is like fucking...
Oh, like a big balloon.
Yeah, kinda. But it's all black.
Yeah.
Or purple. Yeah, it's black. And then there's purple. Like purple like trim and shit like that. And like I said, like... No, I think one of the coolest things about rewatching this is knowing the green and the purple and the glass and stuff. Like, just watch those little things. It will fucking make the experience so much better because I really think that like... the first time you watch it, like that wouldn't occur to you. Never occurred to me.
And now you can focus and actually see the lens changes.
Yeah.
To where like rooms are entire tints of
right
or
green
the
trim
or
be green and stuff like that. Like the cupboards will be green in a room with Bruce Willis's face in front of them. There's just so much fucking awesome little Easter eggs, and that's why it almost felt like there's like continuity to it, and that's what makes it feel comic booky.
Yeah.
And not only that, like you know how like the Ring. Not the Ring, sorry.
Like,
Lord of the Rings.
About it?
Lord of the Rings. Anytime you see the ring, it's like na 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 na. Like to where the score becomes part of like a character in the film. That's how M. Night
Pavlov dogs you into reminding you of it.
That's how M. Night shoots it. Like the background, the way that like the colors of the clothes they choose. Like when he's walking away from the train crash.
Yeah.
Green shirt. There's just so much fucking shit in there.
And that's like. correctly using mise-en-scène to like evoke
right emotion.
The right emotion, the emotion that
a subconscious emotion
take you
though.
To yeah
and which I think is fucking brilliant. That's why
that's when films like you're moved and you're like whoa, really, you, really moved.
I don't know why, but like you, I don't know. There's a lot of really awesome shit. And like I said, like I feel like it's highly underrated. And if you haven't seen it, you can on Netflix right now, or go buy. I own the DVD. I watch it on Netflix.
Oh, you should. You should watch it.
Yeah, look for the greens. Look for the Mr. Glass shots and the reflections. Those are really cool. The kid that played young Elijah was fucking heartbreakingly perfect.
He's
yeah,
in, he plays. He's in Mystic River.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's one of the little brothers of. The kid that's accused of killing her.
Oh, okay, right.
Like
on.
the boyfriend is
yeah,
accused of killing Emmy Rossum,
uh-huh.
And the little brothers, like little hockey kid brothers.
For some reason, I just thought of a River Runs Through It, but my bad.
Nope.
Nothing like it. They don't fly fish.
Different
Brad Pitt's
countries
not in it.
Completely.
But yeah, Unbreakable. Go fucking check it out. It's
hell
awesome.
Yeah.
Do I have any other notes? Nope.
I'm good.
Also, fucking. Yeah, just look for all the glass stuff with Mr. Glass. I think that's so neat.
I wanted to say one little line of dialogue.
Yeah.
And it almost startled me when Bruce Willis said it. And he just goes, he's kind of like amped up mm-hmm. and like really kind of like scared.
Yeah.
Almost.
I think I know.
And he's like, I thought
about.
We were just starting to be friends yeah. for real.
Yeah.
And like I was like blown away by that because he's saying it to his kid.
That
and he's
scene
like,
in general is really fucking crazy. And a lot of people gave that scene shit.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really awesome.
Fuck
because like
that.
If you were you put yourself in this kid's shoes, like you're gonna know exactly the fucking
yep.
scene we're talking about when it happens. But just remember that he's a fucking kid. He's not like
yeah.
an adult with actual thinking, you know, going
no,
on.
He has like the instincts of a kid and like the
well, like a one-track
spontaneity
mind.
Of a kid. Yeah,
yeah, a one-track mind to where he's just like, well, no, I know what to do to make him think this and stuff. But yeah, awesome comic book movie. And like there's so many nuances in it and so much shit that you'll be like, wow, that probably inspired this and this and this. It's just awesome. Go check it out. All right, what do we want to do next week? For the in-depth, this is my... Actually... We can either do in-depth or test of Tony.
What? Test of Tony. What is it?
Saw.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The original Saw.
Okay.
I want to do test of Tony because I feel like when was the last time you saw it?
Years.
Okay. I think because you remember how you felt after the first Saw.
Yeah.
Like it changed how like horror movies
how
were to you.
Horror film could be film. Yeah, yeah.
And the budget on it is dog shit. There's nothing to it.
There's
and they
barely
shot
anything
it fucking
to it, yeah.
great. The shots in it are amazing, but...
Let's not... Get too far.
Right. But I mean, like, yeah, so we'll do Saw for Test of Tony. You're cool
okay.
with that?
Yeah, perfect.
Fuck yeah. What do you got for in-depth?
In-depth, I got a few options for you, but I'm thinking just because it's such a blatantly obvious one you've never seen,
yeah.
and it's fun, I know you'll like it, uh-huh. Minority Report.
Cool, yeah, done. Done and done.
Done and done.
All right, so Minority Report for the in-depth, and let's do sequels for Genre 5.
We're naming it all.
Yeah, Genre 5.
Genre 5 sequels.
In-depth Minority Report, which I have, rapport. What was the test, Tony?
Saw.
Jesus Christ.
Here we are together.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey,
stuff.
Tony, who are you?
Wake up.
Until next time, go burn books.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production. Executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.